In the annals of history, one of the great figures of female power stands little more than a few inches high. She commands castles, cavalry, and clerics, not to mention a slew of foot soldiers. She is, of course, the queen of the chessboard. And as cultural historian Marilyn Yalom recounts in her new book, The Queen is the result of a sex change that unfolded over several centuries over the last millennium. Marilyn Yalom's book is called Birth of the Chess Queen. Welcome to our program, Ms. Yalom.
Hello.
Chess, you write, originated in India and was spread around the world by Muslims, really. And in its Eastern version, there is no queen. So who stands beside the king?
Next to the king is the vizier, who is the chief counselor to the king, or shah. And he still exists in the Arabic version of the game.
Now, chess players, of course, know that the queen nowadays has enormous powers and can move diagonally or straight ahead or sideways. But originally the queen wasn't that powerful.
No, originally the queen was the weakest piece on the board, as was the vizier. She could move only one square at a time on the diagonal around the year 1000.
So while it is impossible to prove a causal link here, you would say that the rise of the very powerful queen in real life Europe in some way contributed to at least people accepting the idea of the most powerful figure on the chessboard being a woman.
Absolutely. In fact, between the appearance of the chess queen around the year 1000 and the achievement that she has in becoming the most powerful piece, there is a rise of queenship. We go from local queens, say in northern Spain in the 10th century, to the superstar of queens, Eleanor of Aquitaine, a couple hundred years later, and increasing powers. This is not a linear phenomenon, and it doesn't occur at the same pace in each country. But certainly, Isabel of Castile was the most powerful queen that Spain had ever seen, and she was more powerful than her husband because she was the one who had inherited the throne from her father. So, a queen more powerful than the king? Well, there was one in real life, and it seems to have been reflected on the chessboard.
We should point out here that you are not retrospectively attaching moral values to these pieces and the game of chess. In medieval times, people were always writing about these things. They were seeing social mobility in the rise of the pawn to a queen if it made it to the other side of the board, and seeing the relative roles of bishops and knights and the like.
Yes, and it's interesting to know that around 1300, a book was written by a cleric, a book on chess, and what this book was essentially about was to tell every person where he or she belonged in the social order. By the 1400s, by 1500, it was the second most popular book in Europe after the Bible.
Yes, one of the most interesting religious objections, as you write about, to one part of the game of chess is that if a pawn could cross the board and can make it to the other end, as we know, that piece can become a queen. And it was very important, you write, to Christians, at least, that there not be two queens on the board for the same side at one time.
Yes, the church was intent upon enforcing monogamy, even for a king. And so they tried very, very hard in chess to enforce the rule that a pawn reaching the further side of the board could be queen, but only if the original queen had already been taken. And that principle was once again affirmed under Isabel of Castile. But as we know, that particular rule did not hold up, and it quickly disappeared. And soon after the change in the rules that gave the queen great power, soon after that, it was possible for a pawn to be queened, even if the original queen was on the board.
Well, Marilyn Yalom, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Marilyn Yalom is the author of Birth of the Chess Queen, A History. She spoke to us from Savannah, Georgia.